From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 492, Hyperconvergence Using Simplivity with guest Alan Sagano. Recorded Tuesday, September 6th, 2016. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is, well, a frequent flyer of Run As Radio. This will be his fifth show. It's Alan Sagano, the president of ADS Consulting Group. ADS was founded back in 1991 and specializes in network, server virtualization, desktop virtualization, application virtualization, security exchange, custom programming, web development, SharePoint, and SQL Server development. Sir, I don't know if that's actually a specialization.
It might be. It may not be. We specialize in broadness.
There you go. We've talked over the years, and you know, let me punch your card here. Show number five. A little storage, a little cloud, some VMware stuff. The last show was you running basically a private cloud service for a set of customers. Yes. So, I mean, you're very up on the sort of cloud as architecture more than just cloud as a product you buy.
Yes, we took a big gamble in 2013 and did some due diligence and decided since we build infrastructure and we know how to build it, we would build our own.
Nice.
So the good news is that we're close to being full, and we are looking to expand our capacity in the very near future. And most likely it's going to be with these new Simplivity hyperconverged nodes.
So, I mean, hyperconvergence is one of these abused terms. What do you mean when you say hyperconverge?
Well, you know, it's funny. When we first, right after we installed the cloud system, you know, Nutanix had just hit the market, and I was a little sad. Because I'm like, gosh, maybe I should have gone with Nutanix and this new hyperconverged thing. And you're right, it is an abused word.
Sure.
Almost like virtualization is an abused word.
Well, I think I said virtualization at least four times in one sentence from your bio.
Did I mention we do virtualization?
No, no.
So, no, I agree. But when I looked at the Nutanix stuff, although it did have some compelling arguments, I'm like, I don't know if there's really enough where we would pull the trigger. Hyperconvergence to me is, when it first came out, it was definitely intriguing, but we recently looked at a hyperconverged solution called Simplivity, and they call it Hyperconverged 3.0. I don't know if that's marketing or whatever, it probably is. But, basically what it does is it collapses the storage, collapses the backup, mm-hmm. networking, compute, memory, all into a single node. And so you basically don't need a SAN anymore to do highly available clustering, which is pretty exciting because the learning curve is much less steep than, you know, you don't have to have a person specialize in storage because there is no separate interface for managing the storage, which is really nice.
So, and this is just a new way to continue for you to explain your cloud.
Well, I mean, the hyperconvergence, the latest stuff really is, we feel it's a paradigm shift. We are going to use it on our cloud, but it can also be used for on-prem stuff.
Right.
We just recently installed a cluster for a financial institution on the East Coast. We're actually based on the West Coast, but we picked up a client on the East Coast, and they have what Simplivity does is they have their secret sauce is a inline disk deduplication and compression card. So it does global disk deduplication and deduplifies the writes before they even hit the storage system. When the demo, you know, the dog and pony show, they're like, okay, well, normally, you know, you see a graph of IOPS because in storage, right, everything's about IOPS input,
yep.
output operations per second. How many IOPS can your SAN pull? Oh my gosh, we're getting close to our IOPS threshold. What are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. So we're looking at the graph and, you know, arguably this is a demo, but he goes, yeah, you know, there's a one and a two. And normally you would think that's 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 IOPS. He goes, no, that's one IOP. And that's two IOPS. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. So what basically happens with their secret sauce of the inline disk deduplication card is before it goes to write to the disk subsystem, it says, wait a minute, I have 99.999% of the data that I need to store. Let me just store, I'll call it the white meat. In other words, the stuff that I don't have, and that actually is what gets written to the stored subsystem.
The battle here is always in deduplication, saying, is the pointer structure for deduplication as efficient as what you're deduplicating? Like, you know, do you actually save disk space? But you're really more concerned, it's not the space, it's the IOPS.
Well, it is. It's the space and the IOPS. Okay. They actually guarantee 10 to 1 storage savings.
Wow.
Guarantee. And I'm like, okay, smarty pants salesperson, what if I don't get 10 to 1 storage savings? And they said, we'll give you nodes until you get there. I'm like, okay, that was the right answer. I like that. Most of their clients actually, I think globally, they average about 40 to 1 mm-hmm. savings. When we implemented it for the bank, we saw as high as 100 to 1.
Wow.
And then it only dropped down to the 90, like, and then it only dropped down to like 95.
I'm sorry,
to
did
one.
You I'm say
like,
only? Only.
Yeah, only. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take that. That works for me.
Only.
Yeah, but it's really nice because it does global disk deduplication. So before it goes to write, it is aware of everything that's stored on the subsystem and only writes the things that it doesn't have.
Right.
It is absolutely amazing. So the other plays that come out of here, because they did the disk deduplication so well, is you can back up, and it's kind of equivalent to taking like a sand snap, if you will, on the storage, but that's basically their backup strategy. The first time I did it, when we actually had a server that we migrated over, it was a pretty big server. It was, you know, about 1 terabyte of storage. And I right clicked and said, okay, let's see how well this works. Did the backup. It literally took 3 seconds. And I said, okay, that probably was not right.
That didn't work. That couldn't have worked.
That didn't work. There's no way I could have backed up a 1 terabyte server in 3 seconds. So I did it again, and it took another 3 seconds. And then I tried to restore it, and it took another 3 seconds. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. So what we ended up doing with them is I said, let's just go for it. Let's try to replicate everything that they have over to their disaster recovery site every 15 minutes and just see if it works. And it probably won't, but let's just try it for the heck of it. And we did that, and it actually worked.
Wow.
Scary. So they are replicating their data over to their DR site every 15 minutes, and it takes about 3 minutes to physically get there. Is absolutely amazing. I was blown away. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And are they shifting? I mean, obviously they're shifting deltas. I mean, the big question here is just figuring how quickly they're computing what's duplicate and then being able to indicate the duplicates across the wire efficiently.
Yeah. So basically I took a picture of their magic sauce, this deduplication card. And I'm curious. I'm just like, what the heck does this thing look like?
What is going on?
It's about a half height card, and it's got capacitors all over the board. It's got like 10 capacitors on it. And they said it's closest to like a high end graphics card, evidently which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And graphics cards are kind of really good at doing disk deduplication, evidently. And I think the capacitors are there to do these, you know, crazy burst searches to figure out if it has the data or not before it writes it.
Right.
But if you look at what's actually getting replicated across the wire, even though we're, you know, we had about maybe, let's say, 10 terabytes in round numbers to replicate to the DR site of their ESX cloud, their ESX cluster.
Right.
But after the disk deduplication, the amount of data that's going across is like 1 meg. 5 meg.
It's just not that big a deal.
10. Ooh, I jumped to 10. Somebody take a picture. In other words, pretty much nothing. That's why the stuff gets across so quickly, is there's really nothing to replicate. You're only replicating deltas, but it's actually I'll call it a delta on crack, if you will.
Right.
Because it's not just the delta, it's the disk deduplicated, globally disk deduplicated delta. And again, there's a 99.999% chance that the data is already in the DR site. So let me just get the white meat.
Yeah, the big question is, how does it find that it's already in there so quickly, you know, in line as the data is flowing by?
Right. And that's, I think it's a combination of, there's actually a card that sits in each node.
Right.
And they also have a VM that takes up about 100 gig of RAM. That's one of the downsides, is that you need to have more memory in the server to run these VMs that does all that management. And they said that, you know, they store the database of all the disk deduplication, like, you know, I don't know, a couple of times in different places. They said there's no way you're going to lose that. But it works in a traditional sense. It works very much like a Nutanix or another hyperconvert system, where basically let's keep it simple. If you had two nodes in a cluster, each one of those nodes basically has the identical information in the cluster. So that if you lost a node, you would still be able to run on the existing node.
Yeah, you just keep on, which is, you know, normal redundancy type behavior.
Normal redundancy, want to call it, you know, network RAID 1, if you will, or although they do. In the mechanics of it, they do want to see direct access to the disk, very much like the vSAN works with VMware.
So. Right. So they're not making the actual driver array systems. They're using existing driver array systems?
Existing driver array systems, regular, you know, they're not even arrayed. They just need to have direct access. So they have the OEM Dell hardware.
Right.
So you can buy a SimpliVity. It's called an OmniCube. They have different models. But essentially what it is it's a Dell server, an R rack server, 700 series.
Right.
That basically got a SimpliVity logo on it. But they also, in addition to that, they also sell just the software with Magic Disk Deduplication Card that will work on a Cisco node or Lenovo servers as well.
Nice. So if you got, I don't know if you'd retrofit existing gear, but I mean, the bottom line is this nothing too exotic here. It's just this really smart card and the software.
Yeah, some of the caveats are they only work with specific nodes. So, like the Lenovo servers, they only work with a specific model of Lenovo server, and same with Dell. So there's a good chance you're not going to be able to take your existing hardware and make it work with SimpliVity.
You probably don't have the right gear.
Probably. Yeah. So you're looking at a new server purchase. But
if you're someone who's a Lenovo shop top to bottom, fine, you can make OmniStack work with Lenovo.
Yeah. Yeah. The other really nice place this fits in is for desktop virtualization. If one of the things we used to preach with desktop virtualization is if you like your job, make sure that your VDI infrastructure is running on all flash, because you get these boot storms, right? When everybody logs in at 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock, it just takes forever for the stupid VMs to boot. Because everything is disk deduplicated and there is no hydration of the data, if you will, you can actually run and, you know, get with some caveats here. And this is something I've never, ever, 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 ever said before. You can actually run your VDI and your regular VMware servers on the same cluster.
What?
Did I just say that? I know. It's crazy. And I've never said that before. I'm like, okay, normally get your VDI, stick it on an all-flash array, you're done on that side, and leave your server cluster separate. But
this
is one solution where you could possibly do that. Now, there's some caveats there, and actually SimpliVity just released an all-flash array model, which is crazy expensive and also crazy fast, but
that's
pretty amazing.
That's the nature of the beast these days, right? If you really want to, there is hardware solutions to go faster, you just have to spend more money. But if I can drive the IOPS down, I don't have to buy those big, expensive SSDs for everything.
Right, right. And that's really, that's the beauty of this, is that the IOPS savings are, you know, several orders of magnitude. It is, like I said, this, when we saw this, we looked for the bank, but before we did the implementation, we looked at Nutanix, we looked at SimpliVity, and we looked at traditional SAN, Echologic SAN with traditional nodes.
Right.
And their CIO told me, he said, am I crazy? Because what I want to do is I want to fail over to the DR site, like as often as people change their underwear.
Sure,
maybe not that often, but, you know, once a month, I want to fail over the DR site so that we can prove to the regulatory agencies that we actually can fail over and fail over quickly. And I said, if you are really serious about doing that, then SimpliVity is absolutely the best fit because, you know, I can't, before we went with SimpliVity, same, they have a pretty fast line for replication. It's about 900 meg, almost close to a gig for the replication line. But even with that, I mean, we replicated their most critical VMs like once an hour, and then the less critical every 4 hours, and then the ones we didn't care about so much every 8 hours, and then we replicate some of the VMs once a day. But with the SimpliVity architecture, we're able to replicate the entire enchilada every 15 minutes.
Wow.
So it makes things that are just not possible possible with this architecture. That's why we're so excited about it. It's like, yeah, I can't do that with anything else.
Yeah.
Absolutely can't do it.
Alan, give me 1 second to pay the bills here, because Run As Radio is brought to you by UpGuard. In the aftermath of data breaches, the public is often told, we couldn't have seen it coming. But in a lot of cases, that's just not true. Over 80% of breaches have their root in misconfiguration, whether it be a firewall rule, server setting, open port, or third-party service. UpGuard is the premier system of record for IT configurations, no matter the platform, pinpointing anomalies and surfacing unauthorized changes in critical systems around the world. See how it works and get a live, customized demo at upguard.com/runasradio. You got to wonder how much of this stuff is running in the cloud already. Like, isn't that's the claim to fame of the cloud, right? Is near real time synchronization of multiple VMs so that any given site can fail and you're still good to go.
Yeah, the bad news there is that you really, to get the really take advantage of the beautiness of the disk deduplication, you need SimpliVity nodes on both sides. So they're just rolling out. They're trying to get the pricing down in terms of using SimpliVity specifically as a target for DR replication.
Right.
And we are very, very close to pulling the trigger on ours. So we'll actually be able to set that up as well as have use a SimpliVity node as a DR target.
Yeah. And if you've got the IOPS down, I should be able to haul that over the WAN now.
Yes. And get it there in a reasonable amount of time. And also be able to, I mean, most companies, you know, they're doing cartwheels if they can get their stuff replicated in once a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, once a day, how about every 15 minutes? Or every, you know, once an hour or something like that.
Yeah, it's
pretty amazing.
So you're ahead all of the time.
Yeah. They just actually closed a very large deal with a Fortune 20 company. And they said that they estimate they're gonna save, wait for it, I'll have to do my Dr. Evil impression, $100 million over the lifetime of the nodes.
You got to rub your fingers together when you do that too, and pet the cat.
Yeah,
$1 million.
I'm tasting my pinky now; it's delicious. Anyway, but yeah, $100 million. I'm like, okay, that's a lot of money, For a Fortune 20 company, that's $100 million is a great amount of savings.
Well, it just sort of speaks to they thinking about the problem differently, moving.
It is. Really what they, when you look at some of the market materials, they really, when you think about it, the disk drive density has gone up crazy. You know, back in the day, you were lucky to get 36 gig on a SCSI drive, and you're happy to get 36 gig. Now you can get, you know, a couple of terabytes. But the problem is that the transfer rates really haven't gone up.
No, not at the rate that that storage density has gone up.
Exactly, and that's the fundamental problem. It's like, yeah, I got plenty of storage. Problem is I can't get to it fast enough.
Yeah, no, that's
really the problem they've addressed.
That 6 gigabit SAS connection to a 4 terabyte drive is a problem. You're just not going to move that much data.
Yeah, because it's. What's the word? Butt slow? I don't know. It's just terribly slow and painfully slow. Wait for it. And flash has helped, certainly.
Yeah, sure.
But still, it's still a little pricey.
Yeah.
And when you think about still density versus even with flash, it still hasn't kept up.
Right.
So they really kind of thought, you know, let's think out of the box instead of adding more trays and more flash and more blah, blah, blah and gathering IOPS. Why don't we just eliminate the IOPS to begin with?
Right. Well, it almost seems like eliminating the IOPS is what makes this thing appear to create that whole concept of hyperconvergence now. Because we're simply moving less data around, all the storage can be there. The backup is efficient enough. You've effectively optimized WAN because you're moving less data. Like, it's really one trick, but it's a trick that fixes a lot of things.
Oh, it does. I mean, we think about it, it can basically eliminate like hardware compression on your WAN.
Yep.
You can get a slower WAN link. You can get the data over faster. You don't have to buy more Sandtray. I mean, well, it's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win. That's why we're super excited about it. I'm like, holy moly, this is the future. At least what we feel is the right way to go.
Well, it pulls back a spiral we've been in.
Yeah.
Of just because you know, it's like, data expands to fill all available storage, and by golly, they've been giving us a lot of storage. So, and network continues to be the bottleneck, whether that's the network within the chassis or across the or across the rack or across the planet, still the wire is the limiting factor.
Exactly. You know, the analogy there, right, is it's like having a one-lane on-ramp to a freeway.
Yeah.
But you still have that bottleneck, like, this is going to be a problem. And you said spiral. I think the perfect word is death spiral.
Well, yeah, it's that crazy rocketing hockey stick going upward, right? As we just keep doubling stuff. But, you know, most of the time we think about Moore's Law as making the world a better place, right? There are some prices to be paid.
There are. And I think this addresses many things on many fronts. Now, one of the places where we actually differ and one of the things we recommend doing differently is, for the most part, you definitely keep your backups on the SimpliVity storage because it's so fast.
Right.
But that being said, we still recommend getting the backups using something like Veeam off to an external subsystem and then off to tape. And even if you're replicating the data offsite, and our thoughts there are, you know, with crypto and all this other bad malware that's going around, hacking's not getting any better, right? It's just getting worse.
Right.
And it's going to continue to get worse. So the train wreck would be something like this. A hacker manages to compromise your cluster environment, and they're just being a complete jerk. So what they do is they steal your data, number one. Then they go through and they delete all of your backups, number two.
Right.
And then they go over to your DR site and they delete all the backups in your DR site. Then they finally, as they leave the building, they delete your VMs and the malware here is done and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they've not only stolen your data, they've deleted every possible way of recovering it. So that's why we want to get the data off to some type of offsite storage. Like, I know tape is a dog with fleas.
Yes.
But that being said, you know, or something that's offline, because
yeah,
even today, even the most skilled hacker cannot reach their hand through and physically load a tape that's outside of a carousel,
right,
or a driver. And of course, you want to cycle the tapes as well offsite, but it is your fallback. I hope we never, ever, ever have to use this, but if we do, we're sure glad we did, because this is one of those things that, you know, Mark Manassi likes to say, this is an RGE, right? A resume generating event.
Right.
This is one of those things where you could potentially lose your job if you get it wrong. So we still recommend getting it offsite and offline.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing is getting it disconnected or offline, right?
Yes.
As long as offline. You can digitally get to all of the backups, you can digitally lose them all quickly, right?
Yes.
We've all had the experience of screwing up Active Directory and watching it propagate across the entire network.
Yeah. You're like, no.
No. Pull the wire.
You're like, you know, the one time I want it to break, of course, it works perfectly, right?
Yes, naturally. Yeah. You never sync when I want you to sync, but I make one mistake.
One GPO brain fart, and yeah. Now I'm super sad.
Yeah, perfectly propagated everywhere. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks.
So I just, you know, I still like, I want backup offsite. I really don't like tape. I mean, I have had the smoking hole in the ground scenario where all we had was the offsite tapes.
Mm.
And getting the tape drive, the right model with the right firmware, like, that's not a small thing.
No, it's not.
You have to get all of that right. So it's an interesting challenge to deal with all of that. But yeah, to have a digital backup or a cloud backup, but that is in a normally disconnected state so that it's just not easy to get to.
Yes, you just disconnected is the key. Well, offline disconnected, whatever you want to call it, not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically trying to prevent that absolute train wreck of a disaster.
Right.
If somebody gets in for, you know, and does something catastrophically damaging. So,
and the problem is that this near real time connectivity that we're in love with, and it's making all these things possible, means that our mistakes propagate just as quickly.
This is true, which is again another great reason why we even told the bank, look, SimpliVity is saying you don't need it. We're saying,
yeah,
kind of need it. So they sprung for a disk subsystem and are still getting it offline to tape.
Right.
So they do that once a day. And hopefully it's one of those things you hope you never have to use it. And it's kind of like Murphy's Law, right? If you do it, you certainly won't need it. But if you don't do it, you certainly will need it, because that's just the way it works, right?
Without a doubt. No, had that experience. I forget my rain jacket, it rains. I bring my rain jacket, does not rain. You're welcome. That's, you know, I'm helping you all that way.
Yeah. And they, and also SimpliVity just released a, new piece of DR software called RapidDR. They just released it, so I'm going to attend a webinar to see how good it is. I really can't vet that and say it's good or bad, but
right.
If it's anything like the other stuff they're doing, I'm sure it's going to be outstanding.
Well, and I mean, what is DR but maintaining a synchronized copy somewhere else? And this deduplication can make a huge difference in all of that, really.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually fun to watch it go because and unless you've really done this and gone through the pain, you don't realize what it is that they're doing.
Right.
You know, whether it be, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do a full replication. Oh, look, the replication broke again. And then it's something like, let's just let it light off and sit for a while. When we did the implementation for the bank, we're able normally when we do a DR testing and vetting, you know, we do what we call a bubble test,
right?
And that takes a couple of times, and you do a non-bubble test, expose everything, and that takes a couple of times. So it's multiple iterations before you get it right, and a lot of times it's just silly, oh this, oh that, oh this VM, oh this setting, oh we have to make this routing change.
Yeah, like I got to think getting this new hardware into your system and moving work over to it, I mean, it can't be that simple, right? These are not actually SAN devices, they're new hosts?
Well, actually they are, but it is super simple. So essentially what you do, and we were able to migrate all of their 10 terabytes of storage in less than a day.
Right.
After we got it all in. Essentially, what you do is you basically, it creates a virtual NFS storage, and then you authorize your legacy node to access that storage, and then you just do a storage vMotion.
Right.
Over to the SimpliVity nodes. And then you can't usually do a regular vMotion because the processes are going to be different.
Right.
So literally, we wait for it to move over to the new storage. That takes, it took about 24 hours.
Right.
You shut down the VM, and then you do a cold vMotion over to the new nodes, which, you know, is downtime for maybe 5 minutes,
right,
if that. You light it up, and your migration is complete. So it is really, really simple. I'm shocked.
It's just storage, right? You're just effectively moving your VMs to the new storage. I got to imagine that would work pretty much the same way with Hyper-V as well.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, SimpliVity does not have a solution for Hyper-V yet, but it would definitely be intriguing if they can get that to work.
Is the dependence only just that you need a vSphere instance for its own software?
It only works with VMware right now.
Right.
That is one of the drawbacks is that no Hyper-V. Wah, wah, wah.
No, there's nothing wrong with, I have nothing bad to say about VMware. Their product works. There's no two ways about it.
It definitely does. So that is certainly a limitation. But for the most part, the migrations are very, very simple. But for the DR testing, we are able, normally that DR testing can take maybe a month or two to get right because you have to run multiple iterations.
Sure.
With this stuff, because it replicates so quickly, you replicate it, you test it, oh, that screwed up. And then you do it again, but it only takes 15 minutes or 3 minutes.
Right, because it's so quick. Yeah.
So we were able to compress that DR testing from, a month down to like 2 days.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
Because normally you're just waiting for the stupid VMs to re-replicate and run another test. But if you can get, a full rep over in 3 minutes, that works.
So this sounds like your preferred way to host anything involving VMware these days, whether it's the app side with what is it, Horizon, as well as your, typical servers.
Yeah, there are a few places where it doesn't fit well. Like, for example, if you have all image data where it doesn't compress very well and it's very disparate, then it's usually not a good fit just because you're not going to get the storage benefits of the disk deduplication. But those are the outliers. It was really weird. They kind of positioned this product, SimpliVity did, as kind of a mid-high solution, but I'm like, this will work in a Fortune 10 company. And they just closed that deal on that Fortune 20,
right,
20 company. So billion-dollar companies can actually benefit from this. The other place where it's...
It almost sounds like they don't even understand what they've got here. Like,
exactly. It's weird. I don't know.
It's guys like you taking it out in the field going, you could do this with it. Like, I really feel like you got to the essence of this. Like you said, right up front, the secret sauce is, what if we just reduce the IOPS because we were deduplicating in line really, really fast?
Right. Right, in fighting and martial arts, right?
Yeah.
The best punch to take is the one that you completely avoid.
Yeah, it never happened, right? Or, wait a second, did you bring a knife to a gunfight tonight? So all of a sudden, you have the gun, and they're like, what?
Like, oh, this is going to end up bad for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the secret sauce, is that card. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Well, Alan, it's always fun to talk to you, and just to hear you so excited about a really cool way to address a problem. Hope it encourages people to examine it more closely. We all are battling this trouble to some degree, so if it fits, it fits.
Yeah, it's good stuff. We are pretty excited about it, and like I said, when I first saw it and I saw it go in, I'm like, wow, this is the way things are going to get done in the future.
This is going to change stuff, without a doubt. Well, thanks so much for coming back on the show. Glad to have you back, and stay in touch.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
All right, and we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.